Let's get right to it with our buddy, with our teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good. All right. So we all saw the report from Jordan Schulz about the Asante Samuel visit. I guess the Vikings are also on the list. The Panthers are on the list as far as teams that he is visiting, as well as the Green Bay Packers. What, in your opinion, is the likelihood that Samuel is on the team?
Oh, I mean, his back has to check out, and there's like six teams interested in him. So, I mean, they clearly need help, right? We can all agree on that. Even if you think that Nate Hobbs is good, which I'm not sure I think that or not, but now he's going to be out for a couple weeks. So, you know, this guy's a former second-round pick. He's obviously got NFL bloodlines. But I'm not sure I can handicap it just because I don't know enough about what the other team's cornerback needs are. I just know that I've been told for a very long time, you can never have enough corners.
Jason, if they do sign him, would this be a pivot with the medical staff when it comes to necks? Obviously, JerMichael Finley had the fusion. Nick Collins had the fusion. Now Asante Samuel does.
Yeah,
I don't get the pivot.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about, like, obviously all these teams are interested in the Asante Samuel Jr. who was drafted in the second round, who, you know, was a good player. Brian Bulaga was with him for a while with the Chargers. But, yeah, this is why, like, when JerMichael was trying to play and Nick Collins was trying to play, this is why teams brought them in. They all wanted to have their medical staffs take a look at them. So I think this is doing due diligence. I think you have to be careful to think, okay, this is a guy that I recognize the name, and it's at a position of need, and the Packers didn't do anything at the trade deadline. In contrast to, say, the Eagles, who, you know, I know we don't hold Jair in high regard at this point, but they went out and got two corners and a pass rusher at the trade deadline, or around the trade deadline. So, I think there's a long, long distance between he's been cleared by his doctor to resume his NFL career and the Packers medical staff signing off on Goody signing him.
Jason, with Tucker Kraft being out, I think the natural inclination is, oh, you run the football more. But he was so important to what they did in the run, despite being also their leading receiver. So with him out and presumably some of those snaps going to Luke Musgrave, who is not as good of a blocker, is there a chance that they throw the football a little bit more because the run game hasn't been efficient as they'd like this year, and now with Tucker Kraft, it's going to be tough to be efficient?
Yeah, that's Homer's idea, right? Homer saw that final drive with Luke Musgrave on the field, and he caught three passes for 34 yards, and then they didn't really run the ball until they got down to the goal line, and then obviously they gave it to Josh Jacobs to get the game-tying touchdown. But, I know you can't do this, but they do have a guy that, you know, they think is a pretty decent blocker. Again, I don't think anybody thinks John Fitzpatrick is, you know, a taller version of Tucker Kraft, but, you know, they feel pretty good about his blocking ability. I still think it's interesting to me that this all happened after they kept Lucas Haversick on the roster, which I'm not criticizing them for, but they cut Ben Sims, and then, you know, how many times have I said that, you know, Ted Thompson used to say you can think you're really deep at a position and you're one or two sprained ankles away from being thin. Well, in this instance, you know, they thought they could cut Ben Sims, bring him back on the practice squad, and have a guy that's played a ton of snaps for them in 2+ years still available to them. And the Vikings, you know, foiled that plan. And now suddenly they really need him. And again, I'm not even saying he's Jeff Thomason from Chewy's time, but he was a guy that had played and knew the system and it had some production. And now you're going to count on You know, you signed two guys to the practice squad. You promoted a guy from the practice squad. But to your point, I just think they're going to throw the ball more to their wide receivers. I think they're going to spread those targets.
Yeah, I'm not saying throwing the ball to him specifically. I'm just saying that you can't run the ball the way you want to because Tucker Kraft is out and he can't. I'm not saying, oh, you're going to throw the ball specifically to Luke Musgrave. I just think, in general, you have to throw the ball more because, again, you bring in Fitzpatrick. It's kind of obvious it's a run play. You bring in a sixth offensive lineman, which I know is a trend across the league. You're hoping that you're up, you know, even though everybody knows it's a run play, the extra beef is going to help you out. I'm not saying Luke Musgrave in particular is going to be this huge playmaker for them. I just think that the blocking itself of Tucker Kraft is going to be missed.
Well, you're 100% right about that. And I was just about to say, how about if your next tight end when you want to run the ball is Anthony Belton? You know, are you confident enough? You know, like there was a, we all remember the Kevin Berry U-71
package.
Yeah. And Belton even wears 71, right?
Oh, so even better. Run it back.
But if you're confident enough that you can tell the whole world that you're running it, and obviously LaFleur would then build in place, not necessarily to throw the ball to Anthony Belton, but to keep him honest, I think that what you said there probably makes more sense because, again, to your point, they don't have any tight ends that are as well-rounded as Luke Musgrave. And when I compared him to Chewy, I can't remember, Chewy, did you admit that he's even more talented than you ever were?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. But that was my point when I made that comp even last year, is just that, you know, there's so much value in having a guy like that. I mean, no disrespect to your old buddy Keith Jackson, but, like, you know, Keith Jackson didn't have a whole lot of interest in blocking an end. That was not something he was interested in.
Jason, what's the latest on Jaden Reed?
He's catching balls. He had his helmet on while he was doing it. I saw him in the locker room. We're prohibited from actually interviewing players that are on injured reserve. Big fan of that policy. But I did say hello and talk to him for a bit. He's, you know, somebody asked LaFleur on Monday, which seems like forever ago at this point, and we haven't talked to anybody since, that today's our first kind of return to access, which is not how Monday night games used to be treated. But he was asked if Reed was close, and LaFleur very clearly, what is close would indicate he's not close. So I would say, based on LaFleur's answer and not being able to ask Jaden myself, probably another month or maybe a little under a month. But the fact that he's out at practice, the fact that he's been in meetings the whole time, you know, a lot of guys when they're injured and rehabbing, they don't come for the entire day of work. But he's been doing that. So, you know, if you can get him back, you know, sometime after Thanksgiving, but before, what's that Bears game that's on a Saturday? The 20th?
That is the 20th.
In Chicago,
yes.
December 20th? If you can get him back around there or maybe a week earlier, again, this is the trickle down of the Kraft injury. Like, you want all hands on deck. They're hoping that they're going to have Wicks back this week. I just think they should go five wide and do what Rodgers used to do when they had, you know, all those Sports Illustrated cover boys. Like, just let's go. Spread them out, and then just, you know, whoever wins, get the ball out quickly, and I think that could be really effective.
Jason, why are the Packers favored?
I assume because they're at home, right? Is home field is worth 3.
Yep.
They're favored by 2.5. Like, I don't know. Maybe they didn't get the game at the odds makers' houses. They had some other game on, and they couldn't get a connection, or maybe they thought that game was so uninteresting that they shirked their responsibility and didn't watch it. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, the Packers, I do think that there's been a certain level of overreaction to how bad the loss was among fans, and, you know, Tausch and me included. At the same time, I mean, they still have a lot of talent on their team, and we've seen what they're capable of. At the same time, like, the loss of everyone thinks that, or I don't know about everyone, but a lot of, at least people who listen to our show, you know, we were being criticized for being so negative. I'm not being negative because they lost to the Panthers. I'm being negative, if you want to call it that, because they lost their best offensive player.
Yeah.
And like, as you know, I know you called him a moron, and you and I then had to deal with the after effects of that. But like, when they lost JerMichael in 10, that was a big deal because Mike McCarthy had really built a lot of the offense around him, right? He had had a huge 2009, speaking of guys that didn't have a whole lot of interest in blocking. But like, they had to do a pretty serious pivot offensively. And he wasn't even the complete tight end that Tucker Kraft is. And to Gabe's point, he wasn't factoring in a huge way to their run game. And Tucker Kraft does. So to me, if I'm being perceived as being negative by saying, I think they're still a playoff team, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team without Tucker Kraft, so be it. But it's not because they lost to the... If Tucker Kraft doesn't get hurt, and yeah, they still end up losing the same way to the Panthers, mm-hmm, I'm not nearly as pessimistic as I am now.
Totally agree. Because every good team, or most good teams in the league, have a crapper, right, Jason?
But
yeah,
but
and they've had a couple.
But they haven't. Yeah, they've had a couple, Jason. And is the youth, because part of the whole, hey, we're going to be young and we're going to learn lessons early, we're going to apply them late, that's the theory of Brian Gutekunst. How come they couldn't, mm-hmm, take the lessons from Cleveland and apply them against Carolina? Is that still the youth?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, or it's just the fact that young players don't execute as consistently as veteran players. Like, you know, it's Savion Williams who fumbles on that opening drive, right? I mean, how many touches does he even have this year? In addition to the kickoffs that he allowed to bounce, and then he fielded in the end zone, giving them a touchback to the 20 instead of the 35. Like, there's an inexperienced player for sure, right? Beyond him, the execution on the, I think their offensive line, we probably have not been as critical as we should be of them. Like, they just, when Steno said last week that they're blocking the wrong guy too often, I was just like, what? Like, how is that happening? It's not because it's not like they're playing a bunch of young guys there, right? All these guys are experienced at this point. So, you know, they executed poorly. LaFleur obviously made a bold or maybe panicky because possessions were at a premium decision to go for it on fourth down. Like, there's, you know, I don't know if that was they didn't come to play. I think it was more they just played like garbage. And they made, in a game with very few possessions, they had their kicker miss another very makeable kick. What was that one that he missed? 41, 43, something like that. They made just enough errors to get beat in a close game at home, and they couldn't stop the run. So I don't want to chalk up that loss to, oh, they didn't learn from rolling their helmets out there in Cleveland. I chalk that up to it. When you're young and you don't execute, things can snowball. And that's kind of how I looked at it last Sunday.
Jason, is Golden frustrated because, you know, he sees what Abuka's doing and he, mm-hmm, sees what Tet McMillan is doing. Is he frustrated?
I don't know. Last week, he's already a veteran. All he needs is that corner locker like you had, because he did not come in when we were in there. And because I'm sure he knew what we were going to ask. Now, he is one of the people on my to-do list this week that I want to talk to. So we've got today, tomorrow, and Saturday. And like, he said the right things a couple weeks ago, but... You know, and obviously the shoulder injury, I don't know how that affected how much more he would have played and all that kind of stuff. But my answer to your question would be, how can he not be?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, he's not a cyborg. He's not emotionless. like the Terminator. Like, of course, I don't know how you wouldn't be. Now, how that manifests itself and how professional you are about it is another matter. And again, I don't like to speculate on. This is the same reason why, you know, I wanted to talk to Rashawn Gary last week, because while he's having a really productive statistical season in one way, there's also been these weeks where he does the same, right, Gabe? He does the same thing he does all the time, where mm-hmm. You're like, did he play? Now, last week, both him and Parsons were neutralized, but they threw the ball 20 times. They got the ball out fast. Like, I'm not sure that those guys played that poorly in that game. But my point is that when those situations arise, I want to be able to talk to the guy and give him the opportunity to be quoted and for me to be able to say, well, Chew, I talked to Matthew Golden today, and here's what he said. So hopefully I can do that after today, and I can do that tomorrow when I'm on again.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Is your business ready to take the next step? At Fifth Third Commercial Bank Wisconsin, the team of local experience advisors are here to propel you forward. They understand your needs and offer in-depth expertise, cutting-edge technology, and tailored solutions to streamline your cash collections, automate payments, and safeguard your assets with top-notch fraud mitigation tools. Contact Fifth Third in downtown Milwaukee today. Let's eliminate the non-value ad work so you can focus on what truly matters the most. Growing your business. Fifth Third Bank, National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.